so love how an intro can like get you so hyped for the show, because I used to have this happen with conversations. Like Sab and I would be like, girl, we tied. And then the music started, you'd be like, eh. So that's what was happening behind the scenes during the countdown. Shout out to our producer who created that hot track. Okay.
So just to be very clear, these are resources that everyone has access to at the right price. Okay. There's a whole link. You have a whole database of just material that you can use. But anywho, how are you, beautiful?
I'm here.
Yes, indeed.
I am here, and we are here. So much to update you on. I know we haven't really had a chance to talk, but let me do the intro and such. Y'all, welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit. This is the podcast where we fearlessly navigate the complexities of life, love, grief, and this extraordinary journey of healing. We are inviting you to come along with us on this raw and unfiltered exploration as we volunteer our lives as tribute to share our personal stories, triumphs, and challenges. 2024 is a year where we have really trying to be focused on popping our shit. We even have a challenge right now called the Pop That Shit Challenge that is going on during this month of April, and really just giving us an opportunity to get out of the fake humility and honor like who we are. Don't be laughing, girl. Listen, these brave people are running around wild right now.
I'm here for it.
We don't have to sit out. You know what's so funny? I'm sorry, y'all. Hold on. Departure from the script. So my psychologist... Bianca, be serious. Stop. Stop playing.
Bruh.
My psychologist told me the other day, she was like, you're just going to have to call a meeting and tell everybody to sit down. And I hadn't even talked to her about brain people. Like, we haven't even had that conversation.
Yes, indeed.
That's what I'm going to have to tell her about our next session. But anyway, when she said that, I was like, she knows about brain people. Because she was like, you're just going to have to call a meeting, tell everybody to sit down and be quiet in the hush. Because they doing too much. And I was like, girl, you know about brain people. So anyway, I just want to insert that because my brain people are definitely running around crazy right now. But I was talking about popping that shit and I was about to tell y'all who I am. So hey, y'all, what up? My name is Kim. Kimberland, Kim either works. I am an educational advocate, activist, consultant. I am a virtual producer, network executive. I am an intuitive melanated life coach. I'm also a professional frolicker and an expat who is currently living in Medellin, Colombia. I am on a mission to help people escape from the U.S. and also to help people transition outside of education to be able to affect the system from the outside, because the inside of that mug is trash. But anyway, so I'm not going to necessarily get on that soapbox right this instant. But y'all could get it at any time. But yeah, what up? I'm one of your hosts tonight.
Yes, indeed. hey, y'all. So my name is Bianca Goolsby. I am a digital strategist, an activist, and a consultant. I am a private investigator and a receipt collector. So please put some respect on my name. I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, Where We Pause. I've been saying this incorrect for 7 episodes.
What you been saying?
I've been saying transform, educate, advocate, coach, and heal. And it is definitely transform, empower, advocate, coach, and heal, which is the same error on the t-shirt.
That happened on the t-shirt.
Oh my God.
Interesting.
So, anywho, I'm a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. Currently, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and I am an intuitive melanated life coach, empowering others to find their freedom and fulfillment. And so we are so glad that you are here, and we operate by the three keys here. Okay. Let me tell you exactly what they are. It is accountability, transparency, and integrity. So with that being stated, we have some community agreements. We want to make sure that we're very clear about the expectations, what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. Okay. Amen. So what you can expect from us is honoring the three keys. We're going to keep it real. We're going to speak freely, and we're going to cuss when and if we feel like it. So if you have young little ears in the room, you might want to put some AirPods, headphones, something. So, you know, or not, that's your business. And what we can expect from you is hate speech and comments that are not in alignment with the three keys are not welcomed here. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry up in here. So engage with us, go on this journey with us, because we're not the experts. We're just facilitating these courageous conversations. And we want you to participate in this journey and bring people with you, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal. So what update you got? Because I know it's a lot. It's life been lifing and people been peopling. So what updates we have?
Every dang on day. Okay, so just reminders, a couple quick reminders about how y'all can interact and show love and all that kind of stuff. We have community emojis. So you can use these emojis, specifically the emoji with the heart with the bandage, which represents this healing process. So if you see us in other areas, feel free to use that, and we'll know that you have come from this space because you have that unique identifier. We also have individual emojis. So mine is the crayon and the sunflowers. So if you see me out and about, feel free to throw those into the comments. And Bianca's are
the teddy bear and the heart. Okay. It's teddy bear season, and I got a lot of love to give. So those are my emojis. So please, if you see us around in these digital streets, which I'm on a social media detox, we could talk more about that later during the transparency moment. But those are the emojis. Okay. So please govern yourselves accordingly with those emojis.
Amen to that. Also want to remind you all where you can find us, right? So we are at Heal That Shit on all platforms, okay? On Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, on Patreon. Everything is Heal That Shit, okay? If you are watching this on YouTube, it is very helpful for us that you like the video, that you leave a comment, that you subscribe to the channel, right? All of that is helpful for us because we're in this process of building this community and building this safe space for us to do all this healing and such. So please do join us there. Now, I have a question, because we also have another thing that you had just told me. So do we tell people now, or how does that work?
Why not? Go ahead, tell them.
So y'all, I had already said it on my Instagram, on my Facebook, because I know Bianca, she on hiatus. So I was like, I'm not supposed to tell y'all this, but we got a new website, y'all, and it's not.
Yes, indeed.
I literally wrote that on my Facebook status. I was like, hey, I'm not supposed to tell y'all this. And then I had the nerve to tag you at Bianca Goosby ain't on the socials, right? Because I wanted to, you know, we got to make receipts. You know, and I knew I was going to confess what I had to hear. But we have a new website, y'all. It's called We Heal That. It's at wehealthatshit.com. www.wehealthatshit.com. Y'all, it's nice. So if you are trying to learn a little bit more about us and also have a quick way to get to the previous episodes, that's a great place to do that. And we'll be building that out according to how our community expands and the things that we find that we need in order to better serve and better support. So WeHealThatShit.com. Go check it out and let us know what y'all think about it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Our podcast is listed on you listed it on different podcast platforms.
I
don't know the right lingo. Tell the people the lingos.
Yeah. So now for the people that consume content, not just by watching YouTube videos, but maybe you want to listen to this in the car and you have a favorite podcast player such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. We are listed in all of those places and more. And so if you do go to the website, WeHealThatShit.com, and you scroll a little bit below, you'll see all the links of where we are listed and some of your favorite podcast players that is out in the marketplace. So we are expanding, we are growing, we are elevating, and just the messages that we get on a private level of thank you for having this podcast. Thank you for having these conversations. I know that God is taking this to a place that we can't even imagine. And just us following the steps of doing this is such amazing, so amazing. And so I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, it's interesting how we start, like we're in the space of starting over, like the both of us. I was thinking about this the other day and I was like, it's so crazy to have like this established presence and then not, and then rebuilding it, like, is what I want to talk about for the brain field trip. But yeah,
yes,
those things, but yes, yeah, so, if you watch us visually, you watch us audio, or listen to us audio, we out here, okay, is the point. And I mentioned earlier that we're in the middle of the Pop That Shit Challenge. And basically the Pop That Shit Challenge is you shouting yourself out for the stuff that you have done, been doing, the stuff, big or small, don't even matter. I woke up this morning, hallelujah. That is an accomplishment. Okay.
Amen.
So really just taking time to find gratitude and just really put some respect on our own names, because mm-hmm. we be out here. We don't be putting respect on our names. So that is also going on right now. All right. Did I miss anything? I think I got everything.
No, you got it.
All right. Cool. All right. So let's transition over into a spirit check. And we have this colored slide. My words are like gone today. But if you're watching, feel free to drop the color emoji into the comments that aligns with how you're feeling right now. Or if you are listening after this, that's totally fine. Just think about where your spirit is feeling right now. So the options are green. I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue. I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple. I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So that's the scale. So again, if you're watching, let us know in the comments about that. Or if you're watching afterwards, you can still let us know what your spirit feels like. Where's your spirit today?
So I am in a mix between green and blue. Like, life is wonderful. God is good. I don't have any complaints. Like, it is a good mix of just the two of those colors together of where my spirit is.
I love that. I love that. I think I am between, I was here last week too. I was trying to think between purple and blue. More purple though than blue. So should I like start with the transparency moment? Kind of like, I guess, go from there.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's do it. Let's talk about it.
I have been over here trying to get my shit together, right? And I met with my psychologist yesterday. And so I met with her yesterday. Then I had met with her 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, right? And both times she said the same thing to me, which was basically like, ma'am, you are on the line of being burnt out again. And I was like, so I've been in this space of, this is what happens. I'll get really, really excited about something and I'll start like working on it. And so my project was making this list of these things that I want to do every day, things that bring me joy, like using my artificial intelligence, whether that be Google or Alexa, and, you know, using them to remind me to do particular things, blah, 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 whatever. And one of the things that I was doing was I was making things time dependent. And, you know, I don't like to really do that. Like, I don't like to have to do something at a particular time, because for me, it creates this like paralyzing effect that I can't do anything else because I know that I have this thing that I have to do. So I try not to set my life up like that. But so I took the time thing off of it and I just made it say, okay, when I wake up, I'm gonna just say good morning. And that's gonna trigger stuff. Well, then what would happen is I would wake up and I wouldn't say good morning, and then things wouldn't happen. So then it's like 3 o'clock and I still haven't done any of the routine of what I know that I need in order to get settled. I don't like that word. In order to get ready for whatever the day is going to hold. So I was thinking today, because I was like, I feel like, so right before, and you know, you know this about me. I listen to music every single day, right? The past couple of days, I haven't really listened to music. And that's when I know that I'm off, like whatever that looks like, because it's literally one of the first things that I do when I wake up, like there's mm-hmm. music playing. So right before I was eating out on the balcony and I had asked Google to play some music. And it played a meditation, the meditation that I'm supposed to wake up with. And I started to tell it to change it, but then I was like, maybe I need to, like, maybe this is God, like, sending me a message, right? So then it was a grounding meditation. So I'm listening to it and I'm feeling better. Like, ooh, I really need to remember how this feels, right? So that I'll do this and so that I'll feel like this on the other side of it. So what I decided was I probably do need to make it time dependent, but I needed to just like start playing. So I feel like if I'm sleeping or awake or asleep at 10:30, 11 a.m., let's say, and if the music just starts, then that is probably a better way for me to start to wake up and start to get my mind right. Because otherwise, I'm depending on my brain to remember through whatever circumstances I might be going through that this is what I need to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So I've been like flirting with that and trying to like make that make sense and make it make sense for me. The other thing that I feel really called to right now is creating stuff. I was sitting here at this desk the other day and I was just like, I just want to create. That's it. That's all I want to do. I was like, I just want to create. I want to paint. Indeed. I want to grow things. I want to dance. I want to create. I don't want to do the other stuff that comes with the creation. I don't want to answer emails. I don't want to, like, I just want to create and give it to somebody and they do the things. So
I feel that deeply. I feel that deeply. Yes.
So I'm trying to figure out how to make that happen. Because again, there was a time in all of this while I was trying to figure out my routine. I was like, okay, so every morning, you know, I can wake up and I can either do like some type of video journal or audio journal or like whatever. But then it's like, nah, I got to get it off my phone. Now I got to upload it. Now I got to like, it's like, I don't want to do that part. I just want to turn on the camera and be like, hey, y'all doing? And then it comes back to me, and now I could just press send or something. Like, I don't know. I just want to create.
That is a mood. I just want to create.
That's yeah.
I feel that deeply. I feel that deeply. How are you with, like, I know that there's like struggles with like establishing that startup routine. What are some of the things that you feel like has been helping you as you've been at least going through the journey, refining and defining what this looks like for you now?
Definitely one of the things that is helping when I do it is that meditation, that grounded meditation, because it really does. I feel like there was a season where I felt like I was past grounded. You know, I'm up here in the crown chakra and such, you know, higher vibrations. And what I discovered is that we got to pass back through the grounding in order to get there, right? And we might not have to stay there so long, but I can't just jump to this higher understanding without first grounding myself, mm-hmm. right? Because when you get the higher understanding, but you're not grounded, that shit is world shaking.
Yeah.
And that's some of the stuff that I feel like happened to me is like I started seeing so much and I wasn't grounded. So that in particular, that grounding meditation, and it's by Landrell, y'all. Maybe we should do like a playlist or something.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. So it's a grounding meditation by Landrell. He's the artist that does like meditative type music. But I think that has made the difference. Every time I've done it, it has felt different. Something else that I forget to do as well, but I did today when you were like, when is the sun last kissed your skin? You know, and I was like, I don't know. Let me go drink this water outside on the balcony. So when I do get out on the balcony and just be present, that also is very helpful. And the other thing is, I don't know if I had talked about this before, but I'm starting to garden. So one of the things that I did was started my compost, like this mini compost in an old water jug. I had some plants that had already died. So I put that dirt in there and those dead plants and then food scraps to start like this compost process. I don't really know the first thing about composting, but I'm about to figure it out. This is like the hood version, niggering version of composting.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I should call it. Like, it is very much just like, they said put in green things and brown things. Let's see what happens and shake it up and add some water. I don't know. It made me feel better because like here in Colombia, it's a lot of fresh vegetables, right? So every time, like my normal meal is fish, and then I'll have peppers, and then I'll have onions, right? So all of the scraps from that, I usually just throw it away. And it bothers me so much because out of a pepper, there are so many seeds, right? So I'm like, I could literally be growing this because I eat it every day. So starting the composting process, even though I haven't planted anything yet, is making me a lot more conscious of the fact that I'm not wasting. Like, I don't feel like I'm being wasteful. And I feel like it's going towards the betterment of the environment, but also eventually going to pay off in me being able to grow my own food. So that also brings me joy. So I really do want to like get immersed into that. And I have two plants that were almost dead when I got here and they are actually growing. So it's like, oh my God. So now I get to go out and see, oh wow, like something is growing right now. So those are the things I think that I want to really be a part of my routine of getting the day started that can remind me that this is a growing process, like especially with the plants and the gardening. Like I really feel like it's a good reminder for me that stuff may be happening underneath the surface that I cannot see. That, you know, it might take a while for it to bubble to the surface, but if something's happening, like it's, I'm not just wasting time, right? Even if I'm resting, I'm not just wasting time. That is productive in that that is what I need right now. So yeah, that's kind of where I am with it.
Yes, indeed. Okay. I love this for you.
Well, thank you. So that's all for my transparency moment. Did you have any other questions?
Yeah. So you have the bedroom ready. Everything's good to go.
You know, actually, I have some guests that are coming at the top of the month. So.
Bruh.
Anywho, let's move forward. I'll start and just complete this transparency moment because clearly we're talking about transparency, and this is the first time I'm hearing about this, that my bedroom is being leased out and rented, and I ain't even been there yet. But anywho, so this social media detox, y'all.
So how long has it started? The 1st of April, right?
It started the 1st of April. So okay, we're day 10. But I tell you, that first week, boy, that first week was tough.
What happened?
It was tough. So I had deleted the apps from my phone. And however, Facebook was still signed in when I went to the browser. So if I went to, you know, Chrome and type Facebook.com, I was already signed in. It didn't aesthetically look pleasing. It wasn't too much features that was there, but still had access to it.
Yeah.
There were times where I would receive a message on Facebook Messenger, and I didn't remove Facebook Messenger from my phone because there are some intentional relationships that are happening in that space. And so I didn't want to delete the app because I video call and stuff in that platform. But then I had to remove the notifications and literally go through that process of not accepting notifications popping up to my phone and only going to the app when I know I'm expecting a call and or initiating a call. So literally letting my village know, like, hey, so if you send me a message on this platform, 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to see it until after the fact. So the best bet is to text me or to call me so that we can facilitate that. Otherwise, I won't see it. And so that has went well. But just really being like, wow, okay. So I have a lot more time than I thought that I did. I started to think about the time when I would get up in the morning and sit there and scroll for a couple of hours before I would start my day. And now that's not a thing for me. I'm literally going and having a whole new routine now because I'm not on my phone scrolling and responding to messages as I would previously. So really just unplugging. I feel less noise in my brain. It feels less crowded. It's less noise. It is more quiet. And while there's a lot of noise that still happens in my brain, you know, brain people be peopling. However, there's not a lot of external stimuli that's being added to the mix here. I'm not consuming as much content as I was before. So I feel really, really good that if I do consume content, it's content that I'm intentionally looking for and not something that the algorithm is pushing me to look at because of my history and my patterns. So it hits different. It feels different. So on wehealthatshit.com, there's going to be resources that are going to be added that I've been creating in this process of me deleting apps off my phone that do not serve me anymore. And just really being intentional with all the different things that are on my phone, pictures that are on my phone, contacts that are on my phone, and really just kind of scaling back and being very intentional because I'm getting tired of paying Apple for this storage that I'm supposed to have on my phone, and then having a whole additional storage that I'm then paying for. And let's not even talk about computer storage and all of the different things that I have to do with that to make sure that I am compiling my data while I'm not losing anything that I need, but also just having better digital hygiene. So yeah, all of that is going to come together very, very soon. But I just wanted to just share with y'all that this has been very interesting, but I am enjoying just the peace in it.
So I have not started a social media detox, but I want to tell you that you sparked a lot of conversation from our last episode, because some of the people I know here in Colombia were watching. And after that episode, they were like, I wonder about my social media habits. I wonder what my phone is saying about different apps and all of that. So it really made me start thinking about the data that is being collected as far as usage, right? And how are we using that to inform where we may need to make different changes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to tell you that. And then also I want to say, I really resonate with you as far as like having to take notifications off your phone. Because when I think I got to the point of taking notifications off my phone maybe in like August of last year. And the only places I do have notification is WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger and everything else. And I remember the difference. Like, I remember it being like, because it's a constant like buzzing. And you've talked about this before. Like you've said, like kids will get notifications in school and it takes your brain so much time to refocus and like all of that. And I think we forget that as adults. Mm-hmm. So I love hearing when you're like, yes, I had to take the notifications off, because I do think it's a good strategy to start. Like, even though I haven't yet got into a detox and all of that, but that's a good place to start, is take them damn notifications off.
Yeah, it can be very overwhelming. Just, you know, the podcast that we were talking about the other night, they were literally talking about how you get the text messages, then you get the DMs, and then the DMs are in different categories per app that you're dealing with. Like it email, it's a lot. It is copious amounts of ways to have instant contact with someone. And that is a problem.
Yeah.
And also that creates unrealistic expectations on respond and follow. Mm-hmm. So with that all mixed together, you wonder why people are burnt out to the max, because they're constantly plugged in. I want to be unplugged. No,
yes,
you got to go to somebody to get to me. Okay.
That's like, where I want to be.
You can't just touch me on my shoulder. It, like, I'm sorry.
Bruh, I want to be out in the garden on my land. And somebody got to come and find me and be like, hey, they've been trying to contact you about XYZ and ABC. And I could say, tell them this. And then I go buy my black ass business. Like, I don't like it anymore. I don't want to have to talk. Do you know that I have considered looking into going to a silent retreat?
You didn't share that with me, but that sounds very intriguing.
I have, because especially like in the height of everything that was happening last year, mm-hmm. I was like, I just want to go somewhere and be quiet. Like, where can I go? Tibet? Where I need to go? Where do I need to go to just sit and be damn quiet all day? I think we don't realize how much of a toll is taken on us until you remove yourself from that. And then you're like, ooh, this is peaceful. And you know what I'm sitting here thinking, Bianca? I feel like because I started opening some of those avenues back up for lines of communication, right? Like, for instance, July and August. So the reason I keep referencing July and August, y'all, is because that's when I had my realization of burnout, mental health crisis, whatever you want to call it. I didn't have email. Like, I took everything. Remember when my therapist was like, hey, girl, hey, you are not okay, right? So that was what, it happened July, August, so that was September. That month of September and some months after that, I didn't have any notifications on my phone, like email, nothing. And then I started putting email back on my phone. And I think that's what keeps triggering me now that I think about it. Because I'm getting all these emails. I just went in my email earlier today, one of them, and was able to clear it back out. Because you remember when I moved to Playa del Carmen, I spent all that time deleting them emails. I had like thousands and thousands of emails that I had cleared through. It had gotten back up to the point. It was bad. It was crazy. But I cleaned out one of my email inboxes today and I was like, I have to like take this back. Like, I feel like I got real loose on those things because, again, I'm trying to rush it. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to, you know, all right, let me jump back into the world the way that I was into the world before. And my brain is like, we not doing that, sis.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's what's going on. I really do.
I'm intrigued. If you take those notifications off your phone and decide that you're only going to check email certain times of the day, to where then you don't even actually need it on your phone at all because you're just going to respond back on your computer. So I'm wondering what that will look like for you.
Yeah, I wonder too, but I want to. Kev on Stage just did a video the other day and he was like, y'all remember when we used to leave work at work? Like, he was like, when I worked at the bank, I left the bank was at the back. Like, I ain't had to worry about that, you know? And it's like, now, what's her name? Melissa and Mel were talking about this on Jen and Juice too, when they were like, the constant expectation that you are present and the self-pressure that we put on ourselves to be present because that is now the way that life works. And it's like, I want to go back to a landline. I'm not home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not home. Leave a message at the tone. And I get back with you when I get back home. Like, I don't like it. It is a lot for me.
Yeah. I've had conversations with different people after this podcast aired and was sharing about the social media detox in particular. And I will tell you that it has generated a lot of conversation in regards to people feeling burnt out of having to make content and then the algorithms always moving the goalposts. So you can never really be content with what you're creating. And that is a hamster wheel that I hope that our people get off of, particularly because there's inequities in that software and in that algorithm to begin with. So it is going to be a constant hamster wheel, although it does provide some economic resources and financial advantages. Also, however, it's destroying the mental health of our people and our children.
Yeah.
So we have to have a balance between what does that look like? And for me, ain't on it. I'm sorry. Yeah. I have my moments where that temptation, boy, that temptation is so good. Because sometimes I just be wanting to see. Okay. I like receipts and I be wanting to see. But also, I also have to honor what I said that I was going to do, which leads me to the next point in this transparency moment. I just want to let people know it's okay to change your mind. And it's also okay. And having that understanding that boundaries are more than just about saying no. And that is what has been the reinforcement lesson for me is that one, boundaries. So all of the people that was reaching out to me about the particular issues and things that were happening, that was contributing to my mental health and my stress because I care. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to solve problems. I want to be able to at least advocate for someone if they feel like they can't do it. However, my doctors are telling me, Bianca, what you're doing is not sustainable. And you got a heart appointment in the next couple of days to determine about this regurgitation that you still have in your heart because you have heart block, third degree. So it is just the balance of, all right, y'all, it's okay. So I had this whole thing in my mind. I was like, okay, so for the Pop That Shit Challenge, we going to have motivations every day of you know, on social media, weekends and all. And we also don't have a reflection question for people to think about. Honey, y'all go look at the page and see when the last activity was, because I burnt myself out and I volunteered to do it. So I also then want to be like, y'all, we also got to be mindful of the situations that we volunteer and we put ourselves in by not honoring boundaries and by not us honoring what we are supposed to be doing and not adding more to what's already wild out here.
And that's boundaries with yourself.
Yes. I volunteered to do that. No one asked me to do that. I said that I was going to do that and burnt myself out in the process. It was tired. And the only person I could be mad at was myself.
Because look, I didn't expect none of it to happen. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Ciao. But the advantage to all of that was being able to document the process of how I did it opens the door for other people to see how you can schedule posts and how you can set up a schedule for your own business or organization, because this type of work can be used and applied in different areas of life. And so that was something that I was grateful for. And the last thing that I wanted to say about this transparency moment, Kimberlyn, I'm proud of me, girl.
Okay.
I done walked 2.40 miles today. I am pushing it. I am working my body. I am being more intentional with just what I'm consuming, not just on a digital place, but also what I eat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure, there's some things I need to improve on, because I definitely had chocolate cake last night, but that's my business. But at the end of the day, I'm just rooting for those folks that are out there on their fitness journey. And I watched episode one. I went back as I was uploading and making some things for this. And I was like, look at me back then. And we're just 7 episodes in.
Right.
So I just can't. I just can't wait to be able to look back at episode 50 of how far we've come with this journey and what God is doing in this, because we are in this to help people heal, because we need to continue to love, we need to continue to live, and we need to continue to heal out here. And I'm all for it.
Yeah. I love when you hone in on the fact that it's a journey. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times me, Kimberlyn, I tried to rush things, as I was just sharing a little bit ago, and it causes more damage than it does helping. And so it's the doing something every day, you know, and I'm known for saying like every step in the right direction is a step in the right direction, no matter how small, right? And I have to remind myself of that as well, because I get impatient. I get, I don't know. I want it to be like it's a destination. It's not a destination. Mm-hmm. Like this is a journey. So even thinking about like eating habits and stuff, you know, like I just said the other day, I was like, I really feel like I'm going towards being vegan or more plant-based. And that's why I'm feeling so called to like gardening and stuff. But that just recognizing I'm making better choices, I'm doing something that I'm walking. I'm like, all of that accounts and adds up to helping us to heal, because it's not like healing is so many different layers, right? When we think about like the 8 pillars of wellness. So we're talking about mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Like there are so many different ways that we need to heal. So I love that we're on both on this journey, but kind of like in different ways, because it shows that you do what's best for you. You know, somebody told me the other day, they were like, you need to start running. And I was like, hey, guess what I'm not finna do? Okay, it's run. I'm not. I will dance. I will do yoga. I will stretch. I'm not about to run. I'm not. Right. And it also doesn't feel calming to my spirit. It feels very stressful. It makes my knees hurt. Like it's not something that brings me joy. But if I can do yoga and that brings me joy, don't discount that. because that is still movement and that's still helping for the overall totality, you know, of life. So it's the journey, y'all. And I think that we got to keep that at the center of it.
Yeah, we do.
It's a journey. Even if there's like a goal weight or what, it's still a journey for what that looks like to get there, to stay there, to make this not a chore for something that you have to do. Cause that's big for me. I don't want to feel like I have to do something. Mm-hmm. I want to do the things that I want to do and the things that bring me joy. I don't want to feel like something is a chore and I'm making myself have to do it. It just doesn't feel good to me. And that's a part of the journey, is figuring out what that looks like and sounds like. Mm-hmm. So you have mentioned something that kind of made me think about what I wanted to talk about for the brain field trip. Mm-hmm. You talked about how many inputs come into your brain from people, from outside sources. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to talk about for this brain field trip, because stuff been going on out here in the social media streets, and I know that you ain't been out here. So I wanted to share this video with you. So you're familiar with Amanda Seales, right?
I am.
Okay. Do you know much about what has been happening with her?
So, if I can recall correctly, I believe that she had a video where she made a statement about how it does bother her that she is not in certain rooms, mm-hmm. and then was then later gaslit of then saying that you're not in these rooms because of the list of reasons, mm-hmm. but yet has always been called to be on the front lines to speak on certain issues that other people are quiet about. Mm-hmm. Do I have that summary somewhat correct?
Uh-huh. So yes, that's exactly what happened. I believe she was maybe talking about like the NAACP Image Awards or something like that. But basically, yes, there have been Black spaces that she hasn't been invited to. Again, yet she is always putting her advocacy on the front line and people are okay with that. Well, after that, there were two articles that were written about her. One of the articles was in Essence and one of the articles was in Griot. The article that was in Essence. Uh-huh. They were op-eds, but they were in the magazines, right? So, of course, they tried to like, oh, that's an op-ed and blah, 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 right? But also, you choose who writes an op-ed. Mm-hmm. So, y'all made this intentional choice to allow this. But basically, what the first article that was written that was in Essence was saying that she needs to learn how to be more likable, basically. You trying to be in these spaces and all of that. And the reason you're not in these spaces is because people don't like you, because you're not likable. You're always complaining about something and you're always talking about something. And being likable is more important than being good at your job. So that's the first thing that happened. Okay.
It's the respectability politics for me and how that's centered in white supremacy. And we still hold it. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm here.
So then there was a second article that was written, and I don't really remember the synopsis of it. Then there was a third article that was written. So I want to play Amanda's response to this article.
Okay, honestly, I've had enough. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Really? Three pieces from three people I have never met in my life, from three publications that are supposed to be about uplifting Black people, which is all I have dedicated my life to doing. Mm. Shit! What hubris do I have? You people literally cannot stand that someone has studied and is speaking on what they study, that someone has read and is speaking on what they read. You can't stand that someone loves us, so much that their passion is so exemplary and is exuding through the phone that it touches people who literally have never felt love that much and they don't know how to process it. That's what you're feeling. I want to send all the love to everyone who has shown me love. But you people who are continuing to attempt to break me down, you will not break me. You cannot break me. I am loved. I am anointed. I am touched. I am working through the blood of our ancestors. You will not break me. And it is so sad that you are so broken that this is the effort that you would take to try and get some clout. And you know what? Let's say I did get broken. Y'all will be the first ones to be like, see, y'all be doing too much. No, big up to all my strong Black women who are supporting other strong Black women and every other person supporting us. We love you. The rest of y'all can suck up.
Ooh, child.
So, what do you think about that?
Okay, field trip time, huh? I stand for that clip. I'm glad that she said what she felt that needed to be said. I'm glad that she was advocating for herself. I am so tired of people that are on the front lines that are having these courageous conversations, how they are always somehow targeted because of something. And it's due mostly to respectability politics. And what does advocacy is supposed to look like? And these rules that people just keep creating and changing the goalposts and wondering why gaslit was one of the top terms that was used. I am so livid to the people that had the audacity to write op-eds and articles about her, particularly the ones that didn't even know her, that didn't even decide to have a conversation, to not even pick up the phone or send a message or something to be like, hey, let me interview you. Let me hear your story. Some people have no idea her story and right. What she's been through and are creating these articles as if you know what she's been through. And then wonder why people be like, you know what? Y'all worry about it. Y'all solve these problems, because I've been on the front lines just trying to advocate to make sure that we have equality, that we have equity, that we have justice. And y'all are out here just putting me in the fire, calling me all things but a child of God. Y'all got it.
Yeah. And you know what's so interesting on the y'all got it? This is a separate issue, but kind of on the y'all got it. So J. Cole, I don't know if you heard about, I know you don't really follow hip hop for real, but Kendrick Lamar and Future did a song together and basically dissed Drake and J. Cole, and Kendrick was saying he was the best. So then J. Cole dropped a new album called Might Delete Later. Last week, let's say Thursday, right? Sunday at his Dreamville festival, he apologized. And he was like, you know what? I shouldn't even done this diss track. Like, I really shouldn't have. The reason I did it is because people was like, damn, Cole, what you gonna do? Da, 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 da. And he was like, but in my spirit, I didn't really want to do that. And he said, I have not slept well since I released that. Mm-hmm. And this is not worth my mental health. So he basically was like, Kendrick, I respect you as an artist. I respect you as a person. Y'all got it. Y'all got it. I'm not doing this, right? And there was a lot of conversation with people about, oh, Cole shouldn't apologize. And, you know, you can't call yourself the greatest if you're going to apologize and blah, 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 blah. And to me, it was really about this concept of peace that we're talking about, right? Like this concept of, I'm not going to put myself in these positions to be used and abused for your entertainment, right?
Right.
So I heard when you were talking about Amanda Seales, you were using a lot of like third person language, you know, and then these people, but this is our life. And I wonder what it feels like, or what you want to give voice to, of what it has felt like of being in this place of advocacy and being demonized and created out to be somebody that you're not, shit written about you that's not true. Like, and I'm not trying to like force you to like really deal with this right now, but it's something that it made me think about, because this is what we live, you know?
Yeah. And I'm glad that we're touching on this and having this conversation. And I wanted to be very transparent and vulnerable when I share this, and I want people to hear. First of all, it is tough when you have people that are reaching out to you to speak on issues when they are fully capable of that same exact task.
That.
Particularly when they're in the rooms in which said occurrence happened and said nothing. It is very demoralizing at times when you have people that will paint your name through the mud, through the glitter, through anything that is not in alignment with your core principles, what you believe and stand for, and have the fight of being like, is this worth my peace on trying to clear my name? And when I tell you, that has been one of the biggest struggles for me.
I know.
Someone who operates with receipts and always says people lie, receipts don't. My main thing is when someone comes to me incorrectly, it's like, no, well, according to Exhibit B. And the whole chasing receipts to refute people that are committed to lying, that adds additional stress and pressure that I will not allow my pacemaker to make additional pumps for.
Amen to that.
So I will say, as someone who advocates and who is on the front line, who will be at a school board meeting in a couple of days to advocate for toxic work environments that's happening. There are people out here that will try to do everything to destroy you. And I feel that energy that Amanda was coming in, because I felt that energy when we were advocating to determine who was going to be the best school board members who will be serving and for our children. And we see the dismantling of public education that's happening. And we see the obstacles that's happening. When I tell you, there were nights where I could not get a night's rest because I was thinking about what was said about me that wasn't true. And I wanted to fight tooth and nail to defend my name and my honor, while there are people who are committed to committing harm and committed to not upholding the truth and committed to not holding the three keys true. I can't fight those battles anymore. Those battles are beneath me. And having to come to that realization was the hardest part, because I wanted to make sure people knew that if I'm going to tell you something, baby, I'm going to have a receipt for it. I don't need to lie to you. I don't need to come on the internet to make nothing up. But the internet is not a real place, ladies and gentlemen, and humans and people and dogs and all that. The internet is not a real place. Because there's people that is committed to pushing lies.
Like straight up lies.
Like straight up.
Fully lies. Fabricated.
You are just making stuff up because you want to.
Yes.
And then we'll stand on it and we'll be standing on business and be loud and wrong. I'm on a payment plan now regarding a trademark issue where little baby is loud and wrong. People are tired. Just do right. Just have integrity, please. Because life is already difficult enough.
Right.
Oh.
But integrity, I have learned, is not common, you know. And when I heard Amanda talking, so things happened after that, right? So she made that video and then she did another live and she basically was like, I still meant what I say about come see me, but also, this is the price of advocacy. This is what happens when we choose to speak up for what's right, is that people will create narratives about you that are not true. She was also invited to go on Jemele Hill's podcast called Unbothered. And Jemele asks every guest that is on there, how did you become unbothered? And I thought that it was such an interesting question, because I first had to ask myself, am I unbothered? Right? Like, as you just talked about, you know, the ways that people will create these narratives and how that does, can, and will impact you and your thoughts, right? So then I was like, am I still holding on to narratives that people have created about me and doing my best to disprove those narratives? Or have I acquired the ability to really be unbothered and not care, right? And I think that, well, I'm not going to equate unbothered with uncaring. I don't think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Have I acquired the ability to be unbothered and not allow people's lies to control my life? Let me mm-hmm. say it that way, mm-hmm. right? Because I think that as people who care, we are always going to care. I don't have one. I don't know about you, a switch that you could just flip that makes you not care. You know?
No, I wish I did, baby. It would save so much grief. Jeez.
Because listen, so because we are empathetic people, because we are people who do care about other people, I think it's unrealistic for us to think that we won't care. But I wonder what the process is like and what it feels like to consistently learn how to be unbothered. Because the more things that you do, the more shit people got to say. You know what I mean? And people got shit to say regardless. So you're mm-hmm. saying something, they got a problem. You're not saying nothing, they got a problem. You're saying something, you're too loud. You're like, just shut the fuck up is basically what they want to say, right? So I'm wondering what that process looks like. What do you think about that? Like, do you feel like you have some steps? Maybe.
Ooh. So I have my moments. Mm-hmm. I have moments where I said what I said.
Mm-hmm. I definitely.
And that is my position. And there is no type of external influence that is going to change what I said. There are other times where that affirmation piece is something that I need. Of I'm on the right track. And so those are the times where I feel that I would be bothered mm-hmm. if I heard something or I was shared something that, you know, I need to reevaluate and, mm-hmm. and look at in a different way. I like the question. And it's something that I definitely want to sit and reflect on about, am I truly unbothered? And if that's the case, when did that happen? Yeah. But I will tell you that with everything that has been happening in my life, you can clearly tell just by my response when you were sharing about all the things that happened that I was very emotional. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still holding on to some of those things that happened in the advocacy work because it was personal for me.
Yeah.
And it is personal to the people that I was surrounded by as well, who had no dog in that fight, who shouldn't have been dragged in that in the first place.
Right.
So I just feel for Amanda and also for the other people that are on the front line speaking truth to power, that are advocating and truly advocating, not performative politics right. and not this performative thing that people say where they post things on social media and behind the scenes, they are an entire devil. I'm talking about the people that are actually doing the work, impacting the people, impacting the community. These are the people that we need to continue to love on out here because our spirits are getting crushed with just witnessing the dismantling and the systemic issues that's happening on top of people that are supposed to be rooting for you and supporting you that right. are tearing you down and or saying things that's just plainly not true because mm-hmm. they can. And that's not right either.
And it hurts more when it comes from people who look like us.
Yeah,
you know, and the harm that we are referring to that happens in our advocacy work comes from people who look like us. But I also want to say that just because somebody is living in a Black or brown body, that does not mean that that person is in support of the Black or brown agenda. Many people are. They have a personal agenda and or they are agents of white supremacy culture, just lack of a better way to put it. You know, so when you talk about respectability politics, that is a weapon that is used against Black people. And basically, when we say respectability politics, it's like you have to say something a certain way, in a certain tone, in a certain package, in order to make someone feel less offended by the words that you want to say. So you can't use the truth per se. You can't be passionate about what you have to say, because then you're angry. Like, you have to really present it a certain way. All of that is respectability politics, but all of that is situated in white supremacy culture and policing Black bodies specifically, and specifically Black women, to know your place. Mm-hmm. You know your place and know what you can say and what you can't say. And then there's also a lot of misogyny that is present, and that do those who identify as women, do they have the right to be able to speak and to be able to check somebody with the truth? So it's like this intersection of fuckery that is, yeah, like, it is just, it's so damaging to spirits. And that's the part that I think, I was telling somebody earlier, we were talking about the words resilient and strong. And I said, I hate those words, because those are words that are used for us. The expectation is we supposed to be so resilient and we so strong so we can deal with so much. No. I shouldn't have to deal with nothing extra, because you have a bias of girl, you know, I was talking, I'm sorry. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and mm-hmm. I was talking, telling them about, just the stuff that I'm trying to work on and healing through burnout and all that. And I was like, you know, one demographic that is really, really burnt out right now are Black women in leadership. And do you know, this person said to me, I mean, once you get to that level, I wouldn't think you have feelings anymore. Like, I wouldn't think it matters. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What? What? How?
Wow.
But these are things that people believe. Like, they believe that they can mistreat us, and they forget that we're people. So the other part that I wanted to ask you about was this concept of, it's not fame, right? Because we're not famous. But this idea of being, I usually frame it as more people know me than I know them. Mm-hmm. More people know my name than I know their name, right? And it is very, how do I want to say? When talking to people that still have a level of anonymity and they are not highly visible, they do not understand what it feels like for someone to paint you a certain way who has never met you, or to misrepresent who you are because they don't like that you have high visibility, or whatever the reasons might be. And it's something that I continuously think through, especially living here in Colombia, right? Because in Colombia, I'm a regular ass person, right? Don't nobody know me. I can skip down the street and frolic and everything is fine. But if I were in the U.S., there are certain places that I could go where people would be like, Kimberlyn, oh my God. You remember we went to the movies when we went to see
it? Yes, indeed.
And that lady was like, Kimberlyn, oh my God, I haven't seen you so long. Oh my God. And I felt like shit. I'm sitting there trying to watch the movie next to Bianca, like, who is this lady? Like, who is she? Where do I know her from? Like, how does she know me? I don't recognize her. I don't recognize her child. Who? But she said my name. Like, who mm-hmm. is this lady? It was the craziest feeling to me, but that is likely to happen, right? If we're just freely walking around certain places, that somebody could walk up to us and be like, Kimberlyn, Bianca. And we're like, hey, girl, who are you?
Yeah.
What does it feel like for you And I don't even know if this is something that you've thought about actively, but what does it feel like to you to be in a highly visible position? How does that feel like in your mind, in your body? Ooh.
So like I had that experience in Belize.
In Belize?
In Belize. I ran into a gentleman where we had did work together with the Junior Black Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce. And he was like, Bianca, what's up? How are you and your... And I then had to be like, you know, well, so there's life updates here. That's why I'm here in this country and resetting and healing. But it... So now... Being that I am separated from an individual that had that higher presence because of their role and mm-hmm. their elected duty, mm-hmm. it is very interesting just as people are like still figuring out and finding out that that partnership is no longer there and had the assumption still to this day, after all of these months have passed, after I've been very transparent and have shared my story and shared, you know, the reasons why I left and all of that, we're still here. It is something that I do struggle with, to be honest. I think that the parasocial relationships is something mm-hmm. that needs to be talked about.
Can you define what that is for anybody who doesn't know?
Absolutely. So a parasocial relationship is a bond that is formed with someone that you don't know, but because of your level of proximity, maybe their social media feed, maybe you watch their YouTube channels, you are consuming a lot of their content that you feel that you have a relationship with that person, although that person might not know that you exist.
Right.
And so there are parasocial relationships that are formed where people look to others in this type of hero complex. And then when things go wrong or when things shift that they didn't see in their storyline, then it is a complete mess. And then being like not wanting to disappoint people mm-hmm. of how they have seen you and viewed you, but then also honoring yourself in your walk and being unapologetically and authentically you. It is a fine line of having that visibility and people seeing who you are, but also wanting to have that level of privacy of just mm-hmm. being able to just be without having so much oversight and people knowing your business and what's happening. And so again, that ties into one of the reasons why I was like, I'm out, because yeah. I was spending so much time affirming and uplifting others on my social media spaces because I needed that too. But also mm-hmm. I was being consumed by so many people reaching out about various different things, to where either it's child abuse, child neglect, educators being abused, to your list. I mean, Kimberlyn has sat with me as I've gone through my inbox of some of the things that I would receive on a daily basis. And it is tough. It is tough sometimes to have people be like, oh, I really have this serious problem. And the only person that I could think that could help me right now is Bianca. And then me being like, I am trying to help myself.
Yeah, bruh, I struggle with that. So your inbox is like filled with those things. And my inbox is filled with like people who are like, my work environment is toxic and I need to leave. And what do I say to these people? They drag me into a meeting tomorrow. And like, what does this look like? Like, it's trauma, you know? Yeah. And in my mind, I want to be able to help and I want to be able to support. But, and this is what happens, what I was referencing earlier, right? It's like, I'm like, okay, all right, I can at least do this, right? I can at least do this. And then my mental health is suffering. And my psychologist is like, ma'am, I know you want to help people, but you need to help yourself.
Yes.
Yes. It is like so. It feels like a I don't want to call it. It feels like a, I don't know, like a double-edged sword. I don't even know. Like, but the constant desire is there to help. But then, no, you got to help yourself. And it's like, but these people need me, right? But you got to help you. But I know, but if I could just do this little thing, that'll help. But you got to help you. I get it. I know. But what they going to do if I don't, you know? And it's like, I've been in this situation, even when I was trying to think about whether I was going to leave Pennsylvania, and I had called a lady that I considered to be very wise, and she was very familiar with what was happening. And she said to me, Kim, you have to save you. And I feel like I still struggle with that sometimes because, yes, okay, yes, I have to save me, but also there's so much else that needs to be saved. You know, it is. I know I can't pour from an empty cup. I know I got to fill my cup before I fill somebody. I know, but also it's all this stuff happening. And if they feel like I'm the only one that can, I got to do something, like people suffering. Like I can't. And it is such turmoil on my mind. I made a post on my Instagram the other day and I was like, healing is a process. And I'm trying to remind myself of that because I keep trying to rush it. And, you know, my capacity is so up and down and I just feel like it's really inconsistent. But my heart wants so badly to help other people that I keep skipping over helping myself. I keep doing it. And every time I try to extend my energy towards somebody else, I be burnt the hell out.
Felt. One of the things that has been helping me in this work, because in this process, you know, we have been able to talk to several people about different issues, and there's some issues that we've been able to help, and others, you know, just pointing them to where they need to go, and unfortunately just not having the bandwidth to. Again, reinforcing those boundaries. And this is just full circle to what we were talking about at the very beginning of the show. We have to make sure that we are honoring our bodies and we are honoring us before we can do anything for anybody else. And as someone who loves to give and who loves to help and who loves to serve, I have to constantly remind myself that, Bianca, you have a pacemaker, which means that there's a certain pace that you can move. And I can't continue to have these bad habits and practices of wanting to be everything for everyone else and not have that same energy for me and what I have going on. And so I know that there are several people that I've talked to recently that have feel the same exact feeling, but they are not in the advocacy world. They don't have a very publicized and public platform in life. They are just dealing with family issues and feeling burnt out with all the obligations that's happening within their home. Privately.
Which is also very, very valid. Like, burnout is not just exclusively for people who are sitting in leadership roles, high visibility, whatever. Like, burnout is non-discriminatory.
So in this season, peace is everything. And that's where I'm at. I'm at a season of peace. I'm in the season of glowing. I'm in the season of, again, finding my freedom and fulfillment. And that is being free in all the things that no longer serve me and finding my fulfillment within me so that I can help fulfill others. That's it.
Yeah.
Because these people ain't going to kill me. I'm sorry. 33 right. Heart balk. No. Yeah. No.
And even if they didn't, like some people, like the people that we're referring to who are reaching out for help, like their intention is not, you know, to cause harm. The bigger thing is that the boundaries, like we have to honor self. Like my psychologist just finished telling me, she was like, you have to slow down and you have to listen to what your body is telling you and your body now, right? So you referenced your pacemaker. I don't have a pacemaker, but there's a certain pace that we need to do life at. And that pace is different from the pace that we may have been doing life at before.
There we go.
And that's where I'm struggling because I'm trying to create this new life based on what it used to be. And it's like, I have to remember your brain is not doing that, right? Your spirit does not need that right now. Your heart cannot take that right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's the constant reminder that life is at a different pace now. And we have to honor that. And I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. I think a lot of times people assume because we're a life coach or because we have high visibility that we have everything figured out. And that's why we tell y'all at the top of this joint, we don't have nothing figured out. We figured this thing out day by day. Okay, figuring it out day by day, right? We have certain skills maybe that are transferable that we're able to like apply and hopefully move through these stages faster. Mm-hmm. But we figuring this out because it's a very individualistic process, right? Mm-hmm. What works for me and what works for you are two very different things. So that's the other thing my psychologist called out. She be getting on my nerves. She good. I want to say that, but she also, ma'am. She was like, I need you to stop. She was like, you have to stop the comparison. And that's when I told her, I was like, I don't really think it's about comparison to anybody else. It's comparison to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what I thought and what I feel like I should be doing or whatever. And she was like, you got to stop, sis. You got to. You got to deal with what is happening today, right now. Honor that. She's like, if you wake up and you have a lot of energy that day, then great. Do more things. If you wake up and you don't have a lot of energy, lay your ass down.
Facts.
And I still be struggling because on those days where I don't have energy, I'd be like, I should be doing something. I need to get up. What the hell is wrong with me? Like, da, da, da. And it's a continuous journey and a continuous process. So I just really wanted to amplify that. Hold on. Because we spend a lot of time beating ourselves up. I spend a lot of time beating myself up. And it's not productive, but that's what we used to doing. So that's what happens, you know? So it's like we have to call these things out so that we can catch it and choose to do something different. You know?
Yeah. And for the people that are watching and listening, whether now or later, I do want you to reflect on what is getting your energy. Excuse me. What is getting your time? What ways that you could change this up to where you don't feel burnt out, right? Like, this is something where only you are going to know the answer to that. And it's something that needs to be done. You need to know what your limits are. And I had to figure that out with my body and all the changes that happened to it and rediscovering my body. That is something that is necessary and it is okay.
Yeah.
To change it up. So going back to what I was like, it is okay to change your mind. And boundaries is not just about saying no. That was said at the very beginning in transparency moment. So here we are, full circle. It's important. We're committed to healing, but we have to do that work, all of us.
Yeah, it is literally life or death. And that's another part I think that we forget, that this is so important because we have to protect our spirits, and the world will try to murder our spirits. Like, the world is not looking for ways to support us, you know? Mm-hmm. So we have to be willing to stand up for ourselves and say, you know, this is what I need this to feel like. And I'm going to take a step back here. I'm going to choose to choose peace. Y'all got it. You make all the websites, you write all the articles. And also, let me just say this before we go. You ain't got to tell us about it either. I don't need you sending me screenshots of what somebody said and sending art. I ain't got the know. Do you need to know?
Mm-mm.
We ain't got the know. Okay. So if you come across things, and this is one of those things that that's really, really important to me, because don't come to me and tell me what somebody said. Come to me and tell me what you told them when they said what they said about me.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
So like, that just needed to be said. Okay. Like,
oh my God.
Don't come to me and tell me nothing that nobody said. Come to me and tell me what you said when they said what they said about me, because that's what I'm going to do. If somebody comes to me about Bianca, I'm checking that right there. Period, point blank. Hey, what we ain't finna do is this. Okay. So, and why are you coming to me? Why you ain't went to her? What is all of this? You know,
people at their big age, y'all, some of y'all are at y'all big age. Okay. And there's healing work that needs to be done. This is choosing peace. Amen. Thank you, Key. Choosing peace always. Because baby, life be life and people be peopling. But you know what? I'm going to have me some peace. That's what I'm going to have. I'm going to have me some peace and I'm going to have this glow. Amen.
Amen. So that's y'all's hard work of the week, is to really think about what you need for your own peace. What do you need to have life look like? Whether that's coming off social media, whether that's getting your routine together, whether that's taking notifications off your phone. We done gave y'all a whole lot of examples.
Yes, we did.
Time of how you can show up for yourself. Your hard work of the week is to figure out what that's going to look like, right? Mm-hmm. And that don't mean you're going to have it figured out right now, y'all. It's a process. It's a journey. All right. But we want to be intentional in that and make sure that we are really attuning ourselves to the things that are bringing our spirits joy, because we deserve. We yes, deserve we do. To have joy. We deserve to have peace. We do not have to be in a chaotic life where somebody's pulling at us every time we turn around.
Mm-hmm.
Take me
you
out.
You are worthy.
Y'all got it. Okay. Take me out. Take me out the rotation. Okay. So having said that, let's tell the people where. So we told you can find all of this on Heal That Shit. We have our new website, wehealthatshit.com, where you are able to learn more about us, where you're able to see previous episodes. Make sure that you have liked, commented, subscribed on our YouTube page, Heal That Shit, as well as connected with us on all of the other platforms that we have, Facebook, TikTok, IG, YouTube, Patreon, all the things. We are in this space to have conversations that matter. Jesus, there is a dog out here. Come, let me go lay hands on this dog and heal this shit, girl. Me, Fido. I can't even. I was like, good God. Oh, he done interrupted my closure speech. Yeah. I know. Get your life together. But yeah, so anyway, tell the people where they can find you, girl.
Oh, you can find me at biancagoolsby.com. You will see different links to the different ventures and articles that I've published. And there will be some changes coming to that very, very soon. So make sure that you stay connected and join my newsletter, so that you can be up to date with what I'm doing, because I'm not posting on social media. I will be posting in my newsletter and on Patreon. So thank y'all for y'all love and support. And where can the people find you?
So come holla at me over on mindofmyblackassbusiness.com and mindofmyblackassbusiness on all social platforms. I am around on social. I'm not there a lot, but I am there. So please do holler at me there. And we will be back here in 2 weeks. This conversation does not stop. Again, please continue commenting, liking, subscribing, sharing all the things. Make sure that you share this with somebody who needs some peace. Maybe they need some healing, right? And invite them right on over here to this conversation. All right. So having said that, we'll see y'all in 2 weeks. We love y'all so, so, so very much. And we'll holla. Bye.
Bye.